Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It is now the 8:30 hour, the time that God has allowed us to set aside to explore the word of God together. It is Wednesday night, Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And I pray that each and every one of you had a great week, that whatever you needed from God, I'm sure it was provided. And tonight, I come to you with a sincere heart. And I pray that God has his way with this Bible study on tonight. I want you to know that our lesson is, the title of it is, Learn How to Become a Sheep and Allow God to Use You. And it's coming from the 23rd Psalm. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the song first, because I think the music can usher us in, that we can be ushered in to the Word of God, and we could do it with song. And our song tonight is Order Our Footsteps, and that's basically what the 23rd Psalm is asking us to do, to allow God to order our footsteps. So I'm going to play this song. We're going to come back, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. Listen and be blessed. Thank you. And that was all of my steps in your word, dear God. I thought that song was appropriate because, you know, the day's lesson is the 23rd Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, we know that God is talking about a shepherd and a sheep. And I thought that a sheep is led by the shepherd, and the shepherd orders the steps of the sheep. And I thought that song was appropriate. But as always, I have to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise for what he is allowing us to do on Wednesday nights. And I just want to thank him for allowing me to be a vessel to be able to go before his people. And I want to thank each and every one of you for constantly calling back week after week as we explore the word of God together. As always, we have to enter into God's throne of grace. And I'm asking if anybody would like to pray. You could do so at this time. If you want to pray, what you could do is press the one button on your phone, and I'll answer your phone. You know, I'll open a mic, and you could pray. You know, when I ask this, it's not just for me, but God gives us opportunities to do his will. And even having the chance to pray is an opportunity that has been extended by God. So I feel like it's appropriate to give an opportunity because that's just the way God planned it. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to get straight into the lesson. For those who just called in, the title of the lesson is Learn How to Become a Sheep and Allow God to Lead You. And it's coming from the 23rd Psalm. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the author and the finisher of our faith, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, our Lord, who is our shepherd, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace and your protecting and your protection, because you kept us all week long, because here we are together again tonight, and because of that, I'm grateful. Lord, I ask that you bless everyone that calls in, and ones who have a desire to call in and can't do it, and ones who called in before, dear God, and are not calling now, and even the ones who are looking for somewhere to call. Bless each and every one of them in the blessings that they're in need of, dear God. Bless their homes, their families, their health, their finances, dear God. Bless they going in and they coming out, dear God. Let none of them suffer, dear God, for the time that they take away from their busy schedule to spend with you. Let them know, dear God, that you're waiting right there and you love to communicate with them, dear God, in your word. Heavenly Father, we're going to be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise because you're worthy, dear God. You're worthy. Well, as always, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you some background on the lesson. And I chose the 23rd Psalm because it's very familiar to most people. And, you know, sometimes we get so familiar with things that we don't really look at it for the strong message that it could bring and what God is really wanting to say through it. You know, sometimes we learn things and then we know them, and then we forget about its meaning. But tonight we're going to be in the 23rd Psalm. The book of Psalm was mainly written by King David and other authors. You know, some people think that David wrote the entire book of Psalms, but he didn't. When David wrote the 23rd Psalm, he wrote it from his own experiences because his early years were spent caring for sheep as a shepherd. You know, I tell you a lot of times that God uses all of your life experiences to get you where he wants you to be. He uses all of your life experiences to get you into his intended purpose. God uses the things that has happened, things that's going to happen, and they're all necessary. You see, David was a shepherd, and he tended to sheep. When he wrote the 23rd Psalms, he used what he knew to be true and used it to express how he felt. Remember, the Bible was written by man but inspired by God. God inspired David to use the analogy of a sheep and a shepherd to write the 23rd Psalm. And he knew that David would be able to express, describe, and write it correctly, a correct illustration of a relationship between a shepherd and his sheep in great details. You know, you have to sometimes wonder when you read the different books in the Bible, why God chose this one for that, and this one for that, and this one for that, and this one for that. But right here, you don't have to wonder. God chose David to write the 23rd Psalm because of his life experiences. Psalm 23 is the most read, quoted, memorized, and thought after passage of Scripture. You know, more people could quote it and memorize it. You see, God never asked us to do things that he knew we would not be able to accomplish. God uses things in the natural to explain spiritual things so that we can get a good understanding of what he wants to reveal to us. We must submit, obey, and trust him so that we will become complete, not wanting for nothing. You know, it's not about our will, but it's God's will and all that God has designed for us before the foundation of the world. And each and every one of us has a specific design. Come on now, y'all. A specific purpose that God has granted for our life. You see, an analogy is a comparison based on similarities. It shows likeness between people, places, or things. You see, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and our Master, he became our shepherd, and we became his sheep. And if we go into the scripture, Psalms 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You know, before we start going into this, we got to put first things first. Before we could go through this, and you could end up with this, getting a true meaning, what God has to say to you, you must answer the question, is the Lord your shepherd? In this verse, we see that the Lord is described as a shepherd. You know, a shepherd is one that tends to sheep. David realized God as his shepherd, and all of his provisions came from him. That's why David was able to see the Lord, to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." You see, the characteristics of a good shepherd is one who provides all of his sheep needs, guide his sheep in the right direction, and protect his sheep at all costs. You see, shepherds in the Bible time face incredible danger in caring for the sheep. You know, they, you know, at one time being a shepherd was a good thing, and as years went on, come on, y'all, and as time changed, shepherds was one of the lowest occupation on the pole. You know, they often had to put their lives on the line by having to fight wild animals who threaten their flock. Isn't it amazing when I say that the Holy Ghost brought something to my mind? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you know, there was a star in the sky, but they didn't, you know, have no announcement going around. it had been, you know, quoted in scripture, and the prophets had prophesied about it, but, you know, people wasn't paying attention or no way when it would happen. Three wise men saw the star, and as the star traveled, they began to follow the star. Now, contrary to most people's belief that the three wise men or the three kings were in the shepherd in the stable when Jesus was born, but that was not so, because when the wise men had to follow the star, remember they was on foot and they had camels, and the star rose when Jesus was born. And they followed the star to go to worship him. And it took them some period of time. And the Bible says, some say two and a half years to get there. And when the shepherds found Jesus, they were living in a house. Look it up, y'all, for yourself. But the point I'm making here is that when Jesus was born, God sent the angels to the shepherds that was in the field tending to their flock. I'm talking about the shepherd, y'all. And at that time, when Jesus was being born, the shepherd's job they wasn't considered, you know, a great employment. They was low on the podium toll. But when God sent the angels to let the shepherds know that Jesus was born, you know, that's, you could just see how God's work. He took some of the lowliest and brought them to let them see the greatest. He didn't have kings and queens and everybody, you know, out there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He gave an announcement to the shepherd, and the shepherds came to the manger, and the shepherds was there with Jesus at birth. A shepherd. When we hear this, this lets us know that the Father and the Son are one. God allowed himself to become flesh and dwelt among us so that he could later lay down his life for us. Jesus is a good shepherd. And the writings in the Bible tells us this. You know, there's three passages that I selected to let you know that, you know, the Bible describes God and Jesus as a shepherd. The first one describes Jesus as the good shepherd. For those who have your ink pens, it's found in John 10 and 11. John 10 and 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." This scripture lets us know that Jesus is our shepherd and what he's willing to do for us. Another scripture in the Bible that describes God as the great shepherd, and it is found in Hebrews 13 and 20. And it says, "May the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Hallelujah. And the third scripture I'm using to describe the shepherd is talking about the chief shepherd. And it is found in 1 Peter 5 and 4. 1 Peter 5 and 4. And it says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear," hallelujah, talking about Jesus Christ, "we shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." So when we look at this 23rd Psalm and they talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I mean, this is exciting news because the scriptures in the Bible tell you what a shepherd does. And this is an analogy lining things up with a shepherd that really physically work the sheep, and God the Father and the Son as our shepherd. And everything that a shepherd does for the sheep in the field, God does that and even more for you. You see, Jesus is coming back for his sheep, and he's concerned for the lost. You see, a good shepherd will leave 99 to go after the one that is lost, and when he finds him, he rejoices. When a shepherd loses one of his sheep, it brought shame to him, and when he found the sheep, he rejoiced. There's a scripture in the Bible, I don't know where it's really found, but Jesus told God, he said, all of those that you have given me, I have not lost any but the one who had a spirit of destruction, talking about Judah. He said, God, everything, every one of them that you gave me. So I'm letting you know tonight that Jesus even have a job that everybody who accept Christ as their Savior, God has given them to him. And Jesus say, I will not lose one. That's why we could say when you save, you save. And they say the devil in hell can't pluck you out of his hand. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's why. That's why. You know, since we now know who the shepherd is and what the shepherd does, it's time to bring in the sheep. Now let's see who are the sheep. Here we see that we are the sheep. I can't ask you a question and hear your answer, but we are the sheep. And I pray that you realize that. God used the 23rd Psalm to say, you know, just like the shepherd take care of the sheep, that's how I'm going to take care of you. So when you read the 23rd Psalm or you visit the 23rd Psalm, imagine all that God say he is to you and how much he will do for you. And you should realize that you need a shepherd. You see, a sheep has natural tendencies to wander off and get lost. Sheep, do that sound like us? Sheep are basically helpless creatures who cannot survive alone without the shepherd. Can anybody think they can make it without God? Sheep are frightened and easily become confused. If you can't say amen, say ouch. They have been known to purge blindly off a cliff following another sheep. Hallelujah. So that lets you know you must be careful who you are allowing to lead you. God has all power in his, and it's in total control. That's why he's sovereign. You have never read anywhere in the Bible where believers are described as mighty lions, independent, self-sufficient. Rather, the Bible describes us as sheep, depending on their shepherd for their provisions and protection. If you accept, believe, and confess the good shepherd as your Lord, trust and obey him. The scriptures tell you shall never want. You see, so when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David had experienced all of that. And because he had accepted God as his shepherd, even in times of adversities, trials, and tribulation, even in his sinfulness and his weakness, God always was there and picked him up and turned him around and still allow him to do what his purpose was to do. You see, and if we read Psalms 23, second and third verse, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me show you this. Sheep will not lie down when they are hungry or drink from fast-flowing streams. You see, a shepherd would dam up a stream, you know, put a big rock there and you know, like a dam up a stream so that the sheep could quench their thirst. And then he leads them because the sheep cannot be driven. They can only be led. How many of you guys is in the driver's seat and think you're in full control? And I'm going to tell you tonight, don't give the devil a ride, because if you give him a ride, he's going to want to drive. And no telling where you'll wind up at. Instead, the sheep hears the voice of the shepherd and follow him. Do you know the voice of God when he's speaking to you? Do you hear God's voice talking to you through the word of God? You see, because a sheep hears its shepherd's voice and it follows. Do you just sit back and wait for God to speak to you? Or you read, or you pray, and you listen God talk to you through his word? Do you sit back and wait to see what God has to say to you? You know, when you pray, you're talking to God. And when you read the word of God, it's God talking to you. And then when you get in a quiet time and it's you and God and y'all have y'all fellowship, you will understand just what God wants you to do. You see, we must become as sheep, realizing that God knows the right path for us. God truly knows where the greenest grass is, because some grass will fool you, and the end will be destruction. You see, a shepherd knows you need rest. That's why a shepherd be right there with their sheep, selling them in a time of storm. And no matter how long he have to work, he's always right with them, working it out together for their good at all times and at all costs. Doesn't that sound like a God? Don't the shepherd sound like a good God? When you hear your shepherd voice, please just follow him. The path mean in the scripture when they say he lead me in the path, that path they're talking about is well worn. In other words, when a sheep wander onto a new path, start to explore, which leads them in trouble. You see, what they're saying is the worn path. You know, a worn pad is a pad where many travel, and it's usually going to a right direction, to a right destination. You know, when you were coming up or when you had things around your neighborhood and they had a fence that led to the next street and everybody walked that pad got worn. So that pad was going to a specific destination. And if you walked on that path, you would get and go across the obstacles. Come on. To get to where you want to go. It was a shortcut. It was worn. You see, and a sheep would travel on the worn path, because you see the path that wasn't worn, you know, it might have led to where they had predators. Come on, y'all. You know when you don't stay in your lane, what happens? Or as TCL said, you go chasing waterfalls, but you should stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. You know, when we start trying something new or trying to be something new or to try to be with somebody new or to try to be with somebody wants you to be, you probably wind up in trouble. You know, God has given us a direct path that provides everything that we need. And if we just follow that worn path that the people in the Old Testament and the people in the New Testament have lived and walked that path and give us examples of what to do and what not to do, we'll end up where we need to be. And if we look at the 23rd and the 4th verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. And verse 5 said, thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I come to tell you now, we all born to die. And we all going to die. We don't know how. We don't know when. But we do know why. Because when sin entered the world, we had a death sentence placed on us. But what David is saying, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. He's talking about what it was prophesied that Jesus would come to do. You see, there is nothing that could do, nothing you could do or say to eliminate death. It's not your strength, your courage, your education, your health, or even your wealth. That is the final word. Everyone is born to die. But because Jesus is leading us and guiding us through the valley of the shadows of death and will bring us safely on the other side. Have you read that in your word, y'all? Do you know that in the word? Because of that, we should not fear. You got to be saved, and you got to know you're saved. You see, 1 Corinthians 15 and 55 says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What they saying, even in the book of Corinthians, see, Jesus took the sting out of death when he rose from the dead. And everybody who believe in him can have a chance to the tree of life. Jesus is coming back for his sheep. All those who accepted Jesus, Jesus is coming back for them. You see, in the scripture, the word rod in this verse, it's a small tree or a slender trunk with a club head on the end. The shepherd used the rod in many ways. As a weapon, the shepherd used it to protect his sheep from danger seen and unseen. Come on now, y'all. When a shepherd is out there and something is sneaking up on the sheep and he take care of the sheep, don't realize they was in danger. How many times you think God has protected you from things dangerous? You know of some of the ones seen, but what about the ones unseen? How many wrecks on the highway you think you would have had if God wouldn't have protected you? See, we got to start thanking God for everything, for the dangers that are seen as well as the ones that are unseen. You see, a shepherd developed great skills at tossing his rod to keep animals from attacking his flock. You see, a shepherd is the protector. God is our protector. Second, the rod can be hurled at the sheep who is about to get itself into trouble. He allows the Holy Ghost to guide you. Come on, y'all. Third, the rod is used to count and inspect sheep. The shepherd used the rod to spread their thick wool, to look more deeply at their skin, to see if they are healthy or sick. You see, the word of God is the rod of God, and God uses his power and his word to protect us from danger, discipline us when we are in need, and he searches us to know our inner secrets, then determine what state we in, because he's able to search the heart. Got it? The shepherd's staff is normally a long, slender stick, often with a hook on one end. It is selected with care by the owner. It is shaped, smooth, and cut best to fit his own personal use. See, the staffs are all personal and personally made. The staff is used to guide sheep in the right direction and to keep them in line. When a sheep has fallen, the staff is used to lift him up and carry him out of danger to safety. You know that staff is long and got that little hook in the end? That hook could fit around the shepherd's neck so that the shepherd can be able to lift him up, you know, to lift him up out of danger. When a sheep has fallen, he can guarantee on the shepherd's staff to lift him up. Have you ever been lifted up by God? Also, the staff is used to draw the sheep together for intimate relationships. You see, the staff represents God's spirit. And when what I read just before that talks about it's used to keep them together in intimate relationship. That's the fellowship that God wants us to have with one another. Yes, the church don't save you, and we are the church. But Jesus ordained the church so the body of Christ could get together in intimate relationships. And we can do that by the Spirit of God, which is living and dwelling inside of us. The Spirit of God will guide you in the right direction, pick you up when you have fallen, and carry you to safety. The staff is used to give a nervous and confused sheep comfort and peace by letting him know the shepherd is always with him. Didn't God say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Jesus is the great shepherd, and we must become as sheep. God has provided everything for us to live a righteous life, and he will see us through. But we have to follow his lead. And when the next in that verse they say it, thou anointed my head with oil, my cup run it over. You got to remember the word of God. When God sent Samuel to anoint David as the next king after Saul, you see, when the oil flowed on David's head, Samuel knew he was the one. You see, God has an anointing on all of our lives, if you know it or not. If we follow his lead, we will be able to walk in it. God is leading you to where he wants you to be. But not only is he leading you, he's protecting you, he's giving you provisions to get to where he wants you to get. It's not predicated on you. It's predicated on God. And that's why he said, let me be the shepherd and you be the sheep. You see, back then in the Eastern culture, it was mandatory to anoint your guests with fragrant oils. The host was expected to protect guests at all costs. God offers the protection of a host, even in the presence of your enemies. See what he say? He anointed my head with oil. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Sometimes God don't always want you to be out of the sight of your enemy. He won't prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, so your enemy will know what he's working with. Sometimes you're ready to leave or ready to run, and sometimes he's saying, no, not now, stay there, because I need them to see what I'm going to do through you and for you, and who is the one that's doing it. God is a good God. Yes, he is. You see, didn't he say that I will make your enemies your footstool? God is a God of more than. God is a God of enoughness. You see, we must cooperate with God to receive his many blessings. God said he will pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive them. Now let me stop there and look a little while, because some people say, well, I never got it like that. You know, if you have more than two pair of shoes, that's a lot. How many people you know, they got a channel on the TV called Hoarders. They really have more than enough. But even us in our lives, more than anything that we have that can be placed on the side, and it takes so many uses of the same thing to be used to get to the other thing. Wait, let me clear that up a little bit. If you got 10 dresses and it's got to take you 10 days, and every day you don't wear a dress, and it has to take you 10 days to get to the 10th dress, that's called more than enough. You got a bunch of pair of shoes. Some people got two cars and they could only drive one. Some people have more than one house to live in. So you may look at this and never realize that he will pull you out blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. He's not telling you he's going to give you so much money you can't count it. But we have to be sensitive to the word of God. And you remember, God is not into all of that materialistic stuff. So he's going to give you what you need. And anything is over that, it's blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. Because all your needs is met. And now he's taking care of your wants. But you got to trust him. Here we see that God has prepared a well-thought-out plan for us before the foundation of the world. God said, I will make your enemies your footstool. In his plan, all provisions, protection, needs, and guidance was included. Check it out. It's in the word of God. Everything written, and all of his promises are there for you. Now, if you don't know the promises of God, or you don't know what God has for you, because remember, his blessings are tailor-made. Hallelujah. You don't know what God has for you because you haven't read it in the word. You might have not just sat down and had a little talk with Jesus and listened to what he had to say. You might not be meditating day and night like the Bible said. It may be a lot of reasons, but what God has for you is for you, and it's in the word. Go and get it. You can't claim it if you can't name it. You see, the favor of God anoints your head and make your cup running over. The favor of God, when you got from the back of the line to the front, hallelujah. When they called only you to show up for this blessing, hallelujah. Come on, y'all. The favor of God, which is sort of the grace of God, anoints your head and make your cup run it over. God will allow us to be tested so that the situation could bring us either to maturity and especially growth, which is maturity. And he uses it to show others and our enemies his mercy and grace, working it out for our good. God wants us to sit at the table, to be his invited guests. Have you ever sat at the table with God? Did you ever get to eat and taste and see that it is good? Because I'm here to tell you, it's sweeter than the sweeter of a honeycomb. It's sweeter than the honey of a honeycomb. And like some people, just when they read the word of God or God do something in their life, they just have to say, good. And if we look at the last verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have to notice, y'all, our ultimate goal is to be with Jesus, where we will live eternally with him. God says, it's not on you. God is telling us all the time, I got you. Trust and obey my word. These battles are not yours. They belong to me. And I'm able and willing to take care of them. You see, God used the analogy of helpless, defenseless, frightened sheep, and Jesus as power, all-knowing, full of grace and mercy, to let us know that even though we are weak, he is strong. And yet we are powerless, but he has all power in his hand over everything he created, everything in the heavens and under the heavens, and everything in the sea, in the bottom of the sea, the stars and the moon. He had it all in control. So what you have to worry about, you don't go out your house ducking when the sun is up, skate is going to drop out. Because you see, when God did it, it was well done. Hallelujah. You see, you don't have to worry about things like that, because God didn't, and what he did is perfect. He's saying, I got you, and I got all power in my hand, and I'm working in your behalf, and I'm going to see you through if you keep your mind stayed on me. You see, God never expected us to have it, to make it on our own. You got to remember, we can do nothing in and of ourselves without him. Learn to allow God to lead, and you will never go wrong. Jesus is our good shepherd, and so much more. And if you believe and hold on to the confession of your faith, he will see you through. You know, we have this faith that we talk about in and out, and soon as some situation come up, we let the faith go. But you have to hold on to the confession of your faith in and out of every situation, every day, every night, every situation, every adversity. Keep holding on to your faith. Visit the word of God and put the word of God up against it and see what's going to happen. Please allow Jesus, the great shepherd, lead you in all your ways through prayer and supplication. Make your request known, and he will direct your path. You can believe it tonight. And as I close, I want you to know that God wants to take care of you. That has always been his desire. That has always been his will. You know, sometimes we as sheep, we go astray. Sometimes we have turned our back on it. Sometime we have walked away, but he's concerned about the sheep, and he'll leave 99 to go and get the lost, and when he finds them, he rejoices, and he's ready, and he's able, and he want to take care of you, but you have to let him. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Trust God and acknowledge him so that he may direct your path. If you belong to Christ, there is nothing that can separate you. He's coming back, and he's going to gather all that belong to him, and we will spend eternity with Jesus, Father, and the Holy Ghost. But until then, we have to live in this world. And Psalms 23 has given us a roadmap of how to live until he comes back. And that's our lesson for tonight. That's our lesson for tonight. Allow God to be your shepherd. Just learn how to be a sheep. Hallelujah. Is there anyone would like to make a comment? Anyone would like to add to the lesson? You know, I know plenty of y'all know some plenty things about the 23rd Psalm, and maybe I didn't bring that point out, and you could do so at this time. You may want to ask for prayer. You may want to give words of encouragement. You may want to ask for a different subject to be taught on next week. Whatever it is, I welcome it. It is not my Bible study, it's ours. So if anybody have anything to say, you might want to sing a song. You could press the one button at this time, and I'll open the mic. Well, since there's no prompt for the mic to be open, y'all don't know anybody need prayer? Well, we could call a name with prayer. You need prayer. Well, what we're going to do is go ahead and close on tonight. I'm going to lead us out in prayer. And if God say the same, we'll meet back next week at the same time in the same station. It is now 9:23. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your word that you allow to go forth on the night. Lord, I pray that I never look at the 23rd Psalm the same again. Lord, I realize what a shepherd does for a sheep. And you say that you was the good shepherd. You were the great shepherd. And God, I believe it. And Lord, I thank you for being my shepherd. And your word said, I shall not want. God, I thank you that you took the sting out of death with your sons. God gave us grace at Christ's expense. Christ is your greatest treasure. And you allowed him to die and suffer for us. And for that, I say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your power. Lord, I know that I am powerless. And many times I'm weak. But Lord, I know you're strong. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray that we be able to return on next week, if it's your will. And Lord, I pray that you give a word to be spoken at that time. Lord, and I pray that all of the callers come back. And I pray that the Holy Ghost have his way. Lord, I pray that the information that was given on tonight, that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. Lord, I pray your word not return void. And Lord, I hope we return on next week with a spirit of expectation. Expecting the Holy Ghost to show up and have his way. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sake. Amen and thank God. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say something, you still have a little time. It's 9:26. If not, we're going to go ahead and end the lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will, we will meet back again next week. And as we get ready to part, I ask and I pray that each one of us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and thank God. Well, that's it for tonight. And to each and every one of you, I say, Godspeed be with you. Have a great week. And see you next week. good night.